I think we're live.
Hello!
Hello everyone, and welcome to Radio Rebel,
Radio Rebel.
the show where we take our time to sort of rip apart something about you, Chicago, that we find upsetting or annoying. I'm your host, Radio Rebel.
I'm your host, Radio Rebel.
And I'm your third co-host, Radio Rebel.
So chew on that for a second. Yeah, there's three of us.
Today we're gonna should we just jump right into the
Let's
topic or
jump
should
right
we?
into it.
Okay.
Today we're gonna expose the sick space that is the Midway.
Yes, today we're going to be talking about one of the, I would say, darkest, most upsetting parts of the U Chicago campus, which is Midway. So much to be said about the Midway. Personally,
So much to be said.
I lived in South for first and second year, so every day I had to sort of, and it's akin to crossing, like,
A ritual.
yeah, it's a ritual. It's crossing the
Crossing the
tundra. You, every day you wake up, you battle against the wind. You run, you run, you run, you run, while the wind is blowing at you. And honestly, I kind of miss that experience. It's like a baptism, pre-class. I was saying,
A wind baptism.
You're
wind as
reborn
opposed to
every
water.
day.
Yeah, every day I'm reborn
Yeah,
from
yeah.
girl to scholar. Right
Girl to
when you
scholar.
cross the
So
Midway, you
true.
become
And then you go
scholar.
back
To
to girl.
back. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I go back to girl.
Right. Wow.
So,
Meanwhile, people who don't cross the Midway, just girls. They
yeah,
don't get
people
to
who
be
don't
scholars.
cross the Midway are only girls, not scholars.
Only girls, not scholars. So
Something
true.
interesting to me about the Midway is let's talk about what you can do on because it's just such a long stretch of what I would describe as ugly grass.
So
And
true.
in the winter it's kind of just snow. The fact that
So
there's one ice rink and then sometimes you see someone throwing a frisbee,
Yeah.
but most of the time it's either ice rink in the winter and soccer in the
In
summer and
the
even
warmer
fall.
times, yeah.
But what about the other pretty much mile of it that is just kind of sitting there? It's kind of like, would it kill you to put a sculpture in? Would it kill you to have something for me to even a bench.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the least we could do is sort of put a boba shop on the Midway. Put
Right.
like a nap pod,
Why
like
are the
an
food trucks clogging up?
yeah, why are they clogging Ellis? Put them, drive them onto the grassy part of the Midway.
Drive a taco truck onto the Midway, and then I'd go there onto the grass.
You're so right that this is just like miles of unused land for Mac Apartments. And if anyone from Mac Apartments is listening to this broadcast,
Get out.
yeah, first of all, get out. Second of all, free idea for you. Build a couple apartments on the Midway. Scenic, central campus location.
Let's
Maybe
talk. the Midway is about New Chicago just establishing its dominance, just kind of bragging about how much land it can take up in the southern Chicago area. And they're like, yeah, we build stuff everywhere else. So this is our grass.
When I'm in there, it feels like in The Lion King when,
You
the
know it.
stones are rattling in the valley, right? The
What are you talking
stones start
about?
rattling in the valley, and then the stampede happens because it's sunken. The thing about the
Wow, the
Midway is it's actually
stampede.
sunken.
That's my question.
Yeah.
Why is it sunken?
Jordan Peele needs to write a movie about the
The
Midway and the sunken place.
Midway.
I also want
So
to say
true.
about the name. Oh, hello, welcome to our three new listeners. We're talking about the Midway
It's
right
an honor
now.
to have you.
Yeah,
We're
it's an
talking about the
honor.
Midway.
I would say there's something really presumptuous about calling it the Midway, like the middle of the United States. Like they could have called it so many. They could have called it
Okay, my thing about the
you're far
Midway is
along.
that for about all of first year, I didn't know exactly where it was supposed to be. And so people would make plans with me and be like, meet you at the Midway. And I'd be like, yes. And then just get so stressed. And I would always be at the wrong place. I'd be at like Levi Hall or the bookstore. No. It's not clear that that's the middle of the campus. Mm.
And also, it's just not the middle of the campus.
I feel like it's three quarters away to the south.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we all have crossing the Midway stories.
For every 1,000 people cross the Midway a day, and that's 1,000 stories.
I feel like I black out every time I cross the Midway. I don't have any stories.
I have no strong stories, but I do have visceral memories of just crying while I was crossing the Midway.
Crying while crossing the Midway?
First and second year.
That's very south. That's very south culture.
The Midway renders you anonymous. When you're crossing the Midway, everyone's so reduced. True. Yeah, you're just students. You are nothing but students.
So true.
It's such an unpleasant place to stop and wait. You run into people in the Midway, the great thing about it, unlike the quad where people can really linger, or the library, mm-hmm. probably worst case where it's like, if you get in a conversation outside Harper, that's about 40 minutes you're right stuck. There. You're so stuck. True. There's no way to leave. Bondage. It's so too true. Cozy of a space. It makes you trap. It's claustrophobic. When you're on the Midway, everyone is trying to keep it fucking moving. Like, well,
that's okay.
Okay, well, effing moving.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. Also, there is something that feels really transgressive about walking on the other sidewalk on the Midway. Do you know what I'm talking about? How there's the one sidewalk that everyone walks going north. I guess it's like when you're going from south to campus, it's on the right side of the street.
Yeah.
But then when you're on the left side of the street, you're there to be seen. You don't want to be
in a movie. You're filming a movie.
You're filming a movie because you're saying, I want everyone to watch me when you walk south.
So true. You're probably like wearing a great outfit or you're really in a rush, like you're actually full speed ahead running to class. Or you're on a date if you're on that side.
There's nothing worse than wearing a bad outfit through the Midway. It feels it feels incredibly exposed. Even though everyone's moving, even though you're anonymous, you're also exposed. And I think we can hold both those things at the same time, right? I think we can hold both those ideas. You're anonymous, you're also sticking out.
And I think that really gets to the heart of why the Midway is the supreme example of what psychologists call a liminal space, which I will say, as Anne so aptly tweeted the other day, is any kind of place that's a little bit weird.
Oh no!
As we are
a friend of the radio show,
yes.
Anne, who's not here by the way.
No, not here. Yes.
Said.
Yeah, a liminal space is just sort of any weird area, and that is the Midway almost to a T.
A liminal space is when you walk in and you're like,
wait, guys, I just remembered one of my crazy Midway stories I actually have.
Okay.
Listeners, lean in.
Lean in, listeners. Okay, one time I had to go, I think I was heading, like, from Kathy at the time it closed to the library because I love to study in the library late in the night first year. And I was crossing the Midway by myself. Nobody was out because it was like midnight at this time, and there were wolves on the mid. Or I don't know if they were wolves or coyotes.
Yes, there were coyotes. On the
but I was so fucking scared. So darn scared, crossing the Midway by myself with these wolves. What's the difference between a wolf and a coyote? I don't really know, and yeah, I don't really care because I feel that either one could end my life.
Yeah.
And I love to tell the story.
And I actually remember you texted me
kind
of casually, hey, I think I was just followed by, I was like, hey, how are you? Like, how's work? And you were like, oh, it's good, yeah. I think I was just followed by a wolf.
Wait, yeah. I actually remember this day because we were all giving you advice on how to
I texted Radio Rebels. Yes.
That really brings me to another aspect of the Midway's liminal space, which is that it blurs the boundaries between, now this is going to sound crazy, but it blurs boundaries between the city and the wilderness.
So true.
Because it brings a strip of wilderness straight into the city. It's
No, that's so true. Because there's cars and grass perpendicular.
Yeah.
That's a liminal space.
Liminal space.
Room, as well as prairie.
A liminal space is basically, the way we were explaining it, is just when there are like two kind of different things in one room together. So Soul Taco is a liminal space because it's Mexican and Korean fusion. So
Exactly.
What are their liminal spaces on campus?
Liminal spaces on campus. I feel like
the hallway between the Reagan and Suedo.
Oh, absolutely.
In fact, actually, I wouldn't say the whole hallway. I would say that one part before you enter the sliding doors. That's like that little circular. Yes. What would you call
it? Vestibule?
Yes, where the water fountains are. And there's always someone talking on the phone sitting on the ground.
Yeah.
And I've even been that person.
Yeah. Yes. I've embarrassed myself in front of so many people in that vestibule.
Tell us. Everyone say it at the same time. What happened in that vestibule that made you embarrassed?
Mine was I met a mutual friend who I thought was really cool, and I couldn't stop telling her about how much I liked her improv group.
Mine was, I love how we're saying these simultaneously. Mine was, I made a new friend who I thought was really cool, and I couldn't tell if she was gay or not, and so we had plans to have dinner and then study, and then at dinner she kind of revealed that she was straight, and then we went, and then we went to Mansueto and kind of talked in the vestibule. Because you're not allowed to talk in Mansueto, so the vestibule is really...
And eating dinner with someone better. When you don't know if they're gay or straight is such a liminal space. That's one of the most liminal. That's the liminalist.
That's the liminalist.
Leave it. I mean, Radio Rebel. Radio.
Yeah. So, are we telling a story about just that vestibule or the midway? The vestibule?
Either one.
I don't know if I have anything remarkable to say about the vestibule, besides I do think it is a place where I've had a lot of kind of conversations that were basically like, hey, how's your quarter?
Oh, those are hard conversations.
Yeah, which are pretty much H-E double hockey sticks. Mm-hmm. But on the midway, I would say I've had some highs and lows. There was one time on the midway where it was kind of, you know, rest in peace, these type of nights. You know the nights I'm talking about, where you meet.
Rest in peace, these type of nights.
Well, I haven't described the night
yet. That sounds like a good Urban Outfitters t-shirt slogan. There was a Facebook group in my high school called Summer Tans Faded Bands, which is sort of that sort of energy.
So true.
Whoa, we have to circle back to that. Okay. But basically, I realized I said RIP these type of nights, then I didn't say what type of nights I was talking about.
Yeah.
So I can see how it's kind of like, well, how are they going to rest in peace if we don't know what they were? It was a kind of night where I had gone to South to kind of like get ready, and it was like 10 p.m. We were heading to probably what was going to be a bad apartment party, but it was that moment where everything feels so full of possibility, you know, you're Bambi in the forest, you're seeing you're walking through the midway, you're all dressed nicely, you know, done your eyebrows, and I remember I was going to the shuttle, and this person was like,
the shuttle,
and I was going to the shuttle, the stop by the midway, and there was this person, and they were like, I don't remember if it was from class or what, but they were with another group of friends, and I was kind of with a group of people, and we kind of said hi to them, and they were like, oh, you look so beautiful. Oh, whoa. And I never forgot it because I'm a Cancer. I never forget a compliment. I never forget anything. Mm-hmm. If it was mean or nice, those are the kinds mm-hmm. of things I keep in my mm-hmm. head.
That's gorgeous. I would die for someone to tell me that in my life. Because I did have an embarrassing compliment story, which is once I was picking up some books from some co-op. This was recently, like November. And I went to pick up books from the person, and on my way out, the STEM co-op employee was like, "By the way, I love your like coat. It's really awesome." And what did I sort of didn't have anything to say, so I just mm-hmm. said, "Thank you." I just said thank you and left. I didn't say you too. I love your. I didn't pick something to tell to compliment.
Well, maybe their coat wasn't compliment worthy.
They were.
And you don't lie.
Actually, no. I would say everyone that some who works at the shop is so hot.
It's so hot.
So I could totally offend.
But sometimes the performance of picking a kind of arbitrary part of a person just to compliment because they compliment you is mm-hmm. almost like, well, you're doing that because your hand is forced.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
I feel like exactly. you don't always. This is maybe. Okay, don't cancel me. But I think if you get a compliment,
you don't have to give them back.
You can just say thank you.
I'm with you.
But right then now. in the future, if you see them, you can do it. I think that's that more powerful so to just receive a compliment and say, I will make it up.
Mm.
One
wow.
day.
Wow. That's Buddha.
Welcome
that's
to our three new listeners.
Three new listeners.
Welcome, listeners.
Today on Radio Rebel, we're talking about the Midway a liminal space and other liminal spaces on campus. And for once again, for those of you who don't know what a liminal space is, it's just a space with off vibes. What are other liminal spaces? I'm thinking about the hallway that sort of connects Harper and the Classics corridor. Do you know what I'm talking about? That.
Wait.
Yes, oh, yes.
It's this hallway yes. where it splits into two, goes around a classroom, and then yes, reconnects so true, to go so into. True. Makes me feel lost.
I would say that a liminal space is any room in Kent Laboratory at any time. That place
yes.
is creepy as fuck.
That place was not meant for you to stay in there. Kent was made as a stopping ground between worlds.
Ever since I learned that the sororities have their, like, initiation.
I think we're allowed
to say this. Are we allowed to
say this? Yeah, I think it's
fine. Are we allowed to say what?
Well, what? We're anonymous. Radio Rebel's anonymous.
Yeah, we're anonymous. We can't get canceled. We can say whatever we want.
Yeah.
Ever since I don't know if it's just their normal meetings or if it's some kind of, like, secret initiation thing, so sorry. Kent 107, the big lecture
yes.
room?
Yeah.
That's a liminal space to me. Ever since I learned that sororities do their rituals in there. Because that is just so...
Yeah.
Because, that completely transformed the space for me.
Because then Kent 107 goes from a place of science learning to the multi-purpose room in your elementary school where yes. it was a cafeteria, a concert hall, a gymnasium,
so yes.
a theater.
So true.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm trying to think of other...
here's a liminal space. The ballet room in iHouse.
Yeah.
I've never seen the ballet room
even,
in iHouse.
I would say that's even... That's like not even on Earth. Like, when I yeah. go through... When I yeah. walk into that dance studio, I feel like I'm traveling through time.
Yeah.
I feel like that's
it's
a
so
portal.
True. Time doesn't exist.
I've
it's very normal.
Been to the... To
I
the
used to go there all the time and be by myself.
What would you do? Would you dance?
Maybe.
It's very
maybe
much kind of Suspiria. It's very much I enter it and I'm in the 70s. I'm possessed by a demon and all of the other dancers
yeah.
in the
it's like only
are.
Like it's like only one light works. There's like an old wooden piano.
Oh god, sounds haunted actually.
It's so haunted but cool.
It's not when you go through there you can communicate with the dead.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no,
and a lot of iHouse is like that. I feel like in iHouse at night you could walk down the hallways, have a full conversation with a man dressed like a train conductor,
yeah.
and then, you know, the next day you find out, like, he didn't work there. That was a ghost, obviously.
Yeah.
There was, and you can have a different experience like that every night.
There's this Nickelodeon teen drama called House of Anubis.
Yes!
I watched that.
That was like, I guess it was ancient Egyptian themed. Like,
but they were like at British boarding school.
And to me, that's what I've always seen I House as.
It's so true.
Like this weirdly formal place where you're not supposed to sit in these chairs.
As a former resident of I House, that's what I House wants to be.
I House of Anubis.
But we're going to have to do another episode on house culture because I House is not what it seems from the outside.
Wow.
A space that I would call the opposite of a liminal space, so a space that is
exceedingly sort of normal,
just so normal, so one-dimensional that there's no room for interpret. You can't really reinterpret what this place is for. Is Booth School of Business? I think Booth School of Business is one of, first of all, it is transparent. You can see right through it. And that just has no mystery to it. It's no Walker Museum. You know what I mean? It's no...
Right. Oh, I forgot about Walker Museum.
Walker Museum is one of the creepiest places
I still have never been. I gotta go.
I had to go once to pick up, like, a reader for a course, and it is museum vibes, completely empty, and I had to go to the basement to, like, the mail room, and it was eerie. It was absolutely eerie. Yeah.
Very liminal.
Yeah, the Booth School of Business, I don't know if anyone's been in, but there's now a place that serves acai bowls. That's like sort of the least mysterious.
That's
so
true. That's very, very true.
That's smooth. A smoothie in a bowl has no mystery, has no romance.
Oh, I'd like to share my story of when I worked at Booth for about 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, tell us.
Okay, speak.
So, listeners, this year, actually, I was trying to find a job, and I got a job being a classroom assistant at Booth, because, yes, you heard it, Booth is doing a ton of online, in-person classes.
Who did that surprise?
No one.
And I was hired to basically just be an assistant to professors with, like, tech needs. But that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the man who... Okay, the fourth radio rebel is talking.
I don't know if people can hear the fourth radio rebel, but it's a beautiful cat named Cleo.
The fourth radio rebel is a kitty cat who is a bit grumpy today. Okay, tell the story.
So he told one of the most deeply sad stories I've ever heard, which was about how one of the people at Booth won a Nobel Prize for, I don't know, economics. I didn't even know there have one.
Probably, yeah.
And also, we need to have an episode on we shouldn't give prizes to anyone for economics. We should give you a prize if you ruin it.
Yeah.
We should give you a prize if you find a way to get rid of it.
End economics.
If you end it. But anyways, he talks a story about this Nobel Prize winner who has his Nobel Prize just on his desk. And every time this guy, who was, like, head of, like, tech at Booth, would go into the office, he would see the Nobel Prize, and he would be like, wow, there it is, you know?
Oh,
and one day, he's, like, helping this guy with his computer or whatever, and the guy, the prize winner, is like, do you want to touch it?
Yeah.
And this guy is like, I mean, of course, every time I visited, I wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
And so the prize winner was like, pick it up.
That sounds so sinister. Sounds like in Willy Wonka, Charlie Chalk Factory, which was like, this is a room of mystery, of like wonders and mysteries.
So true.
And if you eat it, you'll go down the garbage chute. That's what it sounds like.
Absolutely. And but this guy was so into it. He's like, and so I got to feel what it's like to hold a Nobel Prize in my hands. Not many people can say that. And then he was like, Booth is a special place. And then I slept through an entire shift one day, and I wasn't fired, but I wasn't exactly kept on the staff. But shout out if you're listening to that guy who got to touch a Nobel Prize. That's awesome.
That's awesome for you. Nobel Prizes are so confusing to me that we're constantly rewarding people for being a nerd. I understand the Nobel Peace Prize. I understand Nobel Prize in Literature. Mm-hmm. But to say you win a prize because you're amazing at studying doesn't sit right with me.
Okay, so what do you think about, like, the people who discovered DNA? Like, you don't think they should have gotten a prize for that?
Well, they gave it to the wrong people, right? They didn't give it to...
Oh, that's true.
Didn't a woman invent...
Listeners, are you catching that? A woman found... discovered DNA.
And that's why we should stop calling it DNA, because N is a masculine letter. And we should change it to D-E-A, D-O-A, something round, gentle, like a woman.
Like a woman. Yeah. So true.
We should call it D-A-A. Duh!
Duh! Yeah, because duh, it's in yourself.
Because literally girl scientists are always like, it's like, oh, did you finish the formula potion? And then the girl scientist is like, duh.
Yeah, that is true. Like, in Legally Blonde and other things like that, it's always the girl, the smart girl, it doesn't try hard. There's no girl that tries hard in, like, media about women.
It's such a lie. It's so painful.
She goes, what? Like, it's hard? Yeah, actually, law school is hard. And I would struggle with it. So...
Right. Well, I think girls, there would be more girl scientists, but girl scientists have had to spend so much time inventing lipstick, mascara, all of the different kinds of makeups, shampoo, conditioner, all those were discovered by girl scientists, and they had to make so many.
They were discovered.
They were dug up.
Every type of product was found in the ground.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Girl mines. There's boy mice and
girls. So it's like, yeah, no wonder girls haven't won as many Nobel Prizes for science, because we were literally distracted.
Mining mascara out of the ground.
We were too busy with our pickaxes. First of all, we have to work in a line. We all line up like the dwarves, going to the mines and mining mascara.
Exactly.
Well... we're almost at the halfway point. Thank you to our listeners who have stuck with us this long.
Thank you to our listeners. Seriously, we love you.
Should we?
And another time we give you a kiss.
Yeah. Should we play some tunes?
Let's play some
rock and bops.
To inspire our listeners to stand up.
Again.
And do something.
You are listening to Midway Radio. This is Radio Rebel.
Radio Rebel.
And here is Brave by Sarah Bareilles. You can be amazing. You can turn a phrase into a weapon or a drug. You can be the outcast or be the backlash of somebody's lack of love. You say what you want to say and let the words fall out. Honestly, I want to see you be brave. What you want to say and let the words fall out. Honestly, I want to see you be brave. I just want to see you. I just want to see you.
I'm not gonna write you a love song, cause you tell me it's make or break in this. Is that why you want?
We're back.
Hello. Thank you to our listeners.
That was a gorgeous Sarah Bareilles double feature, Brave and then Love Song. Sarah Bareilles is one of the most amazing white women to ever walk the earth.
Sarah Bareilles is at the core of the Radio Rebel identity, and we wanted to share that with you.
Yes.
And if you keep tuning in, know that we're going to be playing a lot of throwbacks, you know. Songs that make you want to lean out your head out the window like a dog. That's kind of the songs we want to play.
Songs that make you want to give your high school principal the stink eye.
Songs that, oh my gosh, wait, I just remembered that when I was a sophomore, I was going to say songs that make you want to flip off your teachers when their back is turned. But it just made me remember that when I was a sophomore, my AP Gov teacher got so mad at this one kid once. That he, when he was sitting at his desk, flipped off his kid and put his hand like in front of the finger, so as to hide the middle finger. But he was like a full 40-year-old man flipping off a 17-year-old who wouldn't pay attention.
Oh my god! When I was a junior in high school, my English teacher gave us this lesson on what's it called? Phenomenology, the thing about signs, and he was like. He was trying to explain to us, like, signs have meaning because we assign them meaning, not just because they do inherently. And so he was like, for example, we're going to have a new rule in this class where if you flip someone off, that means I respect you. And so,
that's the kind of thing that would make people go crazy.
So for the rest of the year, when we came to the classroom, he'd flip us off and be like, I respect you. And he thought he was so clever for that.
I hope that teacher falls off a boat.
He called me a mosquito.
Why did he call you a mosquito?
Because he said I was annoying. Like a mosquito.
I had an overfamiliar math teacher who told me, once I walked out of class and he told me, you make me want to stop teaching. That's so extreme.
That's so bad. No. Radio Rebel, I'm sorry. You didn't deserve that. That's awful.
He was saying it as a joke.
Yeah.
But just a little bit much going towards a teenager.
It was a lot.
Going towards a minor that can come out pretty strong.
Yeah. Definitely. It's okay. Oof. At that point, I had sort of given up on the idea of being a woman in STEM.
A woman in STEM, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a biology teacher that called me Spider. And he literally would say, hey, Spider. And no one else in the class had a nickname. And I think it was because I was tall and, like, had long arms. But
it didn't arise from a joke.
And because I would walk on the walls, obviously.
Obviously.
And because I could climb
into
a hole.
You were never like, oh, I'm a spider.
No, I never said anything about being a spider. There's nothing
that's
really.
So strange.
He just took it upon himself. And shout out if he's listening.
My choir director thought I was bossy, so he called me Dictator.
All of these teachers, if you're listening, I hope you've chosen a new career path because clearly being in front of a classroom was not for you and you were not supposed to be around children ever. So I really encourage teachers, if you're listening to this and you called your students
so true.
Such pointed things as dictator
or
mosquito that you have.
Or said that they made you want to stop teaching. Yeah. Guess what? We made it here to the University of Chicago in spite of you.
Yes.
We are here and we are proud.
And what none of the teachers could have seen coming was that one day, us three, mosquitoes, dictators, spiders, would go on to have a radio show on Midway Radio with eight listeners.
Eight listeners! Woo!
From across the Chicago area.
The Hyde Park
area, I would say. Yeah, from about the boundaries of 61st Street to...
51st, yeah.
And to the people listening at home, I want to say, if you notice the connection between the fact that our first theme of our episode is Midway, and the fact that we are on Midwave Radio, yeah, that wasn't an accident.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you can expect more of that kind of clever wordplay.
So
those phonetic connections. So you can expect more of from us on that. Yeah. Because while we are gossipy, fun-loving, and cool, we are also some of the smartest.
We are truth seekers to our core.
I've just received a text from a listener who wanted me... So I just want to shout out to... Actually, we have one international listener tuning in.
Whoa!
Shout out to Sina in Toronto. Thank you for your support. Sorry for erasing you from the conversation.
Chicago area. My apologies, Sina.
Now we're going to talk about something extremely specific. I am sports that would occur on the Midway.
On the Midway.
The three of us, I think it's easy to say that none of us ever participated in IMs.
I wouldn't be surprised if you did Radio Rebel. And if you have something to confess,
oh my god, that's me, Radio Rebel.
That feels pointed.
That's mean.
It's actually not meant to be mean, I'm just saying you were kind of involved.
To accuse someone of participating in Midnight Soccer is a slap in the face of someone's dignity and honor.
I never participated in Midnight Soccer, but during my O week, I guess I did participate. Just once. During O week, I refused to play. But what I did do was I self-designated myself as the person who got to use the Bluetooth speaker and play music, which is extremely powerful.
So you were kind of like the team manager of
Midnight Soccer. I was the team manager of Midnight Soccer. I love to get into the huddle and sort of steal that valor. I love to be like, yeah, let's kick the ball. Let's get the ball over to the other, up to the side.
And this is a tip to everyone listening, because this is a show about sticking up for what's right, for taking the stand. When you see a Bluetooth speaker, that's a community speaker. And as soon as you see that speaker, you need to be taking out your phone, opening settings, clicking on Bluetooth, going to Bluetooth, checking on available devices, and you need to be scanning for the name of that speaker, whether it be Boom Boom 2 or whatever. Boom Boom Ba-Doom Boom. They're basically boom, boom, all...
Yui Boom, Wonder Boom.
Yeah.
Like Big Boy.
Big Boy, Ratata.
Yeah.
Those are kind of... Look for a name like that.
Kikikululu, the speaker.
Bluetooth speakers really bring out the darkest sides of human nature. It's the modern day Lord of the
Flies. It's Adam Smith.
The scramble for the Bluetooth speaker. The scramble to be the first one to play a lo-fi beat.
Yes, it's very Hobbesian. It's a little bit Adam Smith. It's like in man's natural state before all of this thing we call society, right? Man is competing with man and acting in a self-interested way to get the Bluetooth speaker.
Solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. Which is a line straight out of Leviathan. I bet Radio Rebel listeners didn't expect to get a dose of academics this broadcast, but you did. Are there any other IMs that anyone knows about that happened on the Midway? I'm thinking of my house did something called, I think it was just ice hockey.
I don't think it's a sport known as just ice hockey.
Oh, broomball. It's called broomball. Where
that sounds a little bit too close to Quidditch.
It wasn't Quidditch. I didn't do it ever. But basically, it's you.
Radio Rebel's like, oh, I played broomball. Radio Rebel did not.
I did not play broomball.
I don't think you played it, but I do think the connection to Harry Potter is undeniable.
You're coming at me from a really.
I'm not saying this in a combative way. I'm coming to you as a friend.
This is antagonistic, what you're doing. Also, I've never read Harry Potter or watched Harry Potter. People profile you.
Oh, that's people, so true. I forget that.
Yeah, people will look at you. They will make snap judgments. Mm. They will judge a book by its cover, but I've never read Harry Potter. All right.
Alrighty, Radio Rebels. Thanks for tuning in tonight to your favorite midwave radio station, Radio Rebel. Tonight, we are unpacking the midway and all of its liminalities. But I think it's time to transition to our next secret, where we unpack some dirty secrets on UChicago Secrets.
Yes, this is a recurring segment we're introducing called the part where we go through UChicago Secrets, pick one, read it, and exactly. Give our thoughts on it.
Yeah, this isn't bullying because...
because they're anonymous, just like us.
They're anonymous, just like us. And if you have any secrets that you would like Radio Rebel to discuss, actually, we have no way of, because we're anonymous, we have no way of hearing from you.
No, I have an idea. Okay. You can post a UChicago secret with the hashtag #WhoIsRadioRebel.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Then we'll see it and be able
if
to
you
read
want to
your secret.
And also feel free to post WhoIsRadioRebel to spread the word. You know, you'll probably never solve the mystery. You'll die not knowing. But at least you can try. And maybe if you get a community of like-minded individuals together, you might be able to get closer identifying the identity.
Yes.
Oh, I also want to say, on the topic of art, do we have a UChicago secret like
that? Yes. I was thinking that there are a lot of secrets about Data Match today. Mm. And so I was thinking we could kind of unpack Data Match and all that.
Do you have any specific one we could read?
Yeah, we can read this one.
And if you've never heard of Data Match, Data Match is a...
Craven practice.
A Craven practice invented by some Ivy League...
Mm-hmm. Nerd.
Nerd.
Let's not be afraid to say it.
Who... decided he was going to be the next Mark Zuckerberg, trying to do some sort of, match people up at his college. And then somehow it spread to, of course, UChicago after all of the other Ivies, because we would never be first that. And basically, in all of its history, it's never successfully created a couple, and yet every year over 1,000 people do it.
Prove us wrong, guys. Are there any Data Match couples, or will there be any Data Match couples?
Listeners, please write in if you have earned a long term relationship due to a match you received on the portal Data Match.
I'm afraid. Okay.
We've got UChicago Secret number 35340. This person says, "Can I get some new Data Match matches? The ones I got are literally ghosting me. After all I said was, hey, !!! And then all caps here. And they matched me first." And they matched me first.
My heart goes out to this person.
Me too.
Love is hard. I would hesitate to say that your Data Match matches are the ones you'll end up marrying, making lasting relationships with.
I thought you were going to say making love.
No, I wouldn't. No one at UChicago does that.
No.
Yeah, I just think that if you think that you're going to find compatibility with someone where you both had similar BuzzFeed style quiz answers, that might not turn out well.
I have to agree. And I actually would say that even if someone matches with you, I don't think the ex, this is, I'm sorry to this person, but even if someone else matches with you, I don't think that that is necessarily saying that they want to talk.
It's true.
Sometimes you match just to feel
something.
Literally anything, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to divorce the idea that a match equals a conversation. Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. sometimes people just want to match because it feels like a compliment.
So
for
true.
A second.
So true. Secreter, my heart goes out to you.
Yeah.
It really does. But if I can give you maybe just one piece of advice, it would be maybe next time try coming in with a clever kind of line.
Okay.
Instead of just hey, maybe like a question.
Should we all go around and say what we think of this person?
I have really bad
opening line.
Yeah.
I usually say, I'm not revealing it on air. The listeners thought they were gonna get what I say, and they're not going to.
Okay, I'll say all. This is my recommendation for a line. A good line really establishes what you're looking for, your priorities. It makes you seem relatable.
Wow.
So I would say the opening line I would, after matching, I would open the chat box and I would type, Christian or no? Because
so true.
And that could be about the religion or the name.
Yeah. You need to set your priorities straight about these things. Religion is forms so much of a person's identity.
So true. So true.
Do either of you Radio Rebels have?
Yeah, for my opening line, I would say this based on personal experience, and I hope to God this person is not listening. I'm going to be really vulnerable right now, which is that I once accidentally had a crush on a libertarian.
Okay, after broadcast, you need to tell me.
I remember this.
And so as my opening line, just to clear that up right away, I would say liberal or libertarian to make it really clear in text which one they are.
That's the two that you can be, as liberal or libertarian?
Yeah, because I just assume that if they're neither, then they wouldn't match with me.
But honestly, yeah, I think that's true. Okay, Radio Rebel.
I think to start a conversation, you should challenge them somehow. Even more than Christian or no, I think you should say, kind of, some sort of ultimatum, kind of like, I think it should be kind of like, hey, if you don't reply to this in 10 days, I'm gonna unleash the coyotes from the midway. Okay, tied it back! On you.
Whoa.
Or I think it should be kind of a challenge, like, have you seen Adaptation? Like, kind of, like, challenge them on an obscure movie, or that's not an obscure movie, but, like, really be as confrontational as possible.
Mm.
Say, hey, are you having fun? Period.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I like that. That would really start a conversation. All right. Well, we're nearing the end of our time. We'll play one more song just to play us out into our next show. But we thought we would end each show with a call to action.
Yes.
So, what should our call to action be this
time? I think we should all have one.
Everyone, okay. My call to action is, the next time you're on the midway and you're about to cross, take a moment and say, actually, I won't walk on the sidewalk. I'm going to walk in the grass and connect to nature in that way. Feel the grass under your feet and remember that we aren't supposed to live like this. The human body was not evolved to be grand.
We're not supposed to walk on flat. We're supposed to walk on uneven soft surfaces.
Yes, exactly. That's why our foot is so weird.
Mm. And back.
All right.
Yeah. My call to action is take a shovel, go outside and go dig somebody's car out of the snow. Because at Radio Rebel, we believe that kindness is what makes the world go round. We believe that doing a good deed for someone who you may never even meet, even if it looks a little bit suspicious, is the lifeblood of my dad.
My call to action is don't get a mullet. Because I am trying to grow out my hair to kind of a shag, kind of not a mullet, kind of not. And I think there's too many people getting to this haircut before me. Too many people have already grown out their hair. And there's too many people with this hairstyle. So my call to action is cut your hair and don't grow it out.
So wow. True. All right. And on that note, let's play Still Into You by Paramore.
Yes. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Much for listening. Next up, we have auricular enrichment with Curtis McMackin. So stay tuned.